So today is Gaudete Sunday, where we are called and reminded to rejoice and be glad, for the Lord coming is close at hand. But how can we rejoice when all we hear around us, especially when I go on Facebook and social media, and as I hear the radio and stuff, people are stressing out about the holiday. The pressures are building up as Christmas is getting closer. So many gifts to buy, things to do, bills to pay, and everything else like it's supposed to be done yesterday already. So perhaps it begs the question then, what give us joy? What give us joy? Where does our joy come from? And if we are not joyful, what are the things that take our joy away? And what can we do to change things that are changeable to instill and find joy in our very life? And I think it's important for us to seek and to discover and to understand joy isn't a feeling or an emotion. It is a state of life and a state of being with God and finding our peace in God. And I know it is not easy to find joy, even though this is supposed to be a season filled with joy. Many people are struggling with anxiety, with depression, and being alone as well. As a matter of fact, during this season, many people are contemplating about suicide or having to admit into the hospital even more. And I think I can sympathize with that feeling of loneliness or depression or that anxiety that is there. You know, one of my hobby, aka hobby, on my day off on Tuesday, I like to go to big gathering places and just sit and people watch. You know, to see how people react and how things are going. And most of the time it's good until it become the holidays, you know. And as I see family with their children with them, oftentimes there is that quick sentiment that come across my mind, and sometimes it dwell there for days. It's like, what would my children look like if I have a family? It comes up, and it's hurt. And this loneliness is there at times, and it can be hard and challenging at times. But I'm also blessed and to know that I have so many people, the parishioners, my friends, my family, who have permitted me to be a part of their families as well. And I know that even though the loneliness is there, the struggle is there, I do find fulfillment and contentment in giving my life as a spiritual father, even though it can be hard at times. The vocation of spiritual fatherhood and its commitment to celibacy are my gifts to the church, to you, because I want to give my everything to you. And even though it is challenging at times, this is a vocation that is filled with true joy and also, it's natural, challenging blessings as well. Therefore, it's important for us to see that with any vocation, any walk of life, it's important that we sit down to pray, to reflect, and see the bigger picture than what we're currently feeling, what we're tempted with, or what we are being tested with, thinking that our lives are miserable, in order to truly see the real manifestation of God's loving grace and His faithfulness therein. Sometimes we cannot see the fruits of our work right away, or feel that the joy of the Lord is not with us in the present moment. For those times, St. James in the second reading today remind us to be patient, just like the farmer who had to wait for the freshest fruit of the earth to grow and to come to maturation. Oftentimes, having to go through both the trying early rains and the late storms of life. The passage from the book of the prophet Isaiah in the first reading also reminds us that even though Israel was under the threat of the reality of defeat, of devastation, and of deportation, But the promise of the deliverer is real, important, and full of hope. The prophet reminds the people of Israel and to us as well that his hope and confidence in the Lord's deliverance was sure, even though it didn't say when or how God was going to deliver his people. The prophecies remind us that God is at work, and in him we put our trust. When life is trying and things get hard, it's natural for our faith to begin to wane. But don't lose hope and don't lose focus on love just yet. For the Lord is faithful and just. He will judge and repay us with what we have done and how we have struggled to stay faithful and committed even in the times of trial. When life gets hard, remember, my brothers and sisters, that you are not alone. Remember the people around us, the ones who have given you and I life, the one who have loved us when we couldn't love ourselves, the one who stay, and the one who are with us through everything. And especially the ones who are praying, loving, and lifting us up even without us knowing. That's why our faith isn't an individualistic faith. It's communal faith. In times of need and trials, we have the church who lift one another up through prayer and through the spiritual communion we have in Christ Jesus. And I want you, and I know that it can be hard during this time of year when anxiety, depression, and all the negative thoughts come in and you feel that you're alone. And I want you to look at me. And I'm making this promise to you, and it's a personal promise to you, that no matter what happened or will happen, the church and I will never abandon you. You're not alone. We will never abandon you. This is our joy and our hope, knowing that we are not alone. And this gives us the courage to go on and to know how blessed we are. I'm going to share with you a personal story too. I remember when I first came to America, I began to see around this time of year, around Christmas, all of my friends had new shoes and sneakers, and I wanted one. I was so envious of them, and I thought that I'm going to think of a way to ask my parents to buy me a new pair of sneakers. And I had it all worked out in my mind, you know, and I waited. And my parents came home very late that day, and I waited in my room, and I waited for them to come home, and I was about to go out and tell them that I wanted a new pair of shoes. But then all of a sudden, as they were entering through the back door of the house, my dad was sitting in the corner of the kitchen, and my mom was washing the dishes and washing their lunchbox and everything. And my dad was just caressing his hands, you know, from a long day of work. And mom was just tired. And at that moment, I couldn't ask them anymore. I knew that they have sacrificed so much for me. And a new pair of sneakers isn't going to make me happy. What made me happy was their faithfulness and their love for me day in and day out. My brothers and sisters, joy is knowing that what we have is what we need, and it's enough. Joy is hard to attain because we struggle to find, to think, and to be content with what we have in front of us. Yet the gospel today reminds us that our joy is fixed on the one who is to come. It's joyful to see the wonders that God is doing all around us, not just for ourselves, but for the greater world at large as well. St. Ignatius of Loyola once said, "For it is not knowing much, but realizing and relishing things interiorly that content and satisfies the soul." We are called to recognize and relish the blessings and gifts given to us deep within our heart by the Savior, just like the Blessed Mother, who had little to nothing, but she had her everything, her son, her family. This is the cause of our joy, to be content and to be satisfied with what God has given us with simplicity of heart. Furthermore, Jesus said in the gospel today that we are called to proclaim what we have heard and saw, that the blind regain their sight, the lame walked, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. God is doing miracles all the time around us, but I don't think many of us have seen them because we're so preoccupied with what's going on and what we don't have. He's doing miracles to the gifts of creation, how we care for one another, and at each and every Mass, when bread and wine are transformed and given to us at His own body and blood. Wow! Imagine that. All these things are cause for joy because it comes from the heart of God given to us out of genuine love, intimate love that requires simplicity to receive, to embrace, to appreciate, so that we're able to taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Therefore, I think it's important for us to look at God in our prayer and look at the people and things in our life and to simply say that, "I'm blessed to have you, Lord. And I'm blessed to have you, my brothers and sisters. You're more than enough for me." You're more than enough for me. And we really don't need anything else. No matter what. Do not let anything or anyone steal our joy away from us. No one, nothing have that power. They cannot if we do not permit them. May the joy of the Lord be with each and every one of you.